This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, let's not mess around, West Durham. We have teased this for a week. It is finally time to present the 2020 ACC football schedule.
We hold in our hands the ACC football schedule. You ready? We're going to start in the Atlantic Division. We're going to go in alphabetical order. We're going to go through the Atlantic, and we're going to start at Chestnut Hill. Boston College welcomes Jeff Hafley as their brand-new football coach. The Eagles went 6-7 last year. They were 4-4 in conference play. And Hafley is putting together his staff. And here is the schedule. They'll open on Friday, September 4th at home against Syracuse. 8 days later, Frank Solich and the Bobcats of Ohio roll into Alumni Stadium. A week later, Saturday, September 19th at Kansas. Saturday, September 26th, the Big Ten member Purdue comes to Alumni Stadium. Then, October 2nd, Friday night, Alumni Stadium against the Clemson Tigers. The following week, the Louisville Cardinals come to Alumni Stadium. And then a week off.
So, hold on a second. Let's point out, that's five of the first six at home.
Correct. Thursday, October 22nd, after a bye week in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. And then Bob Chesney has Holy Cross on the 31st, and then November at NC State, at Florida State, North Carolina visits Chestnut Hill, and BC will close the regular season at Wake Forest.
What pops off the screen is this. I think of Boston. I think of cold, tough, physical football. And I look at this schedule, Wes, and I think November and three of the four are away from Chestnut Hill. The only team who makes a frigid appearance in the Northeast is North Carolina.
Right. And three of the last four on the road are all division games.
Yep.
That's the other element.
Interesting.
The next team on the list, of course, the defending ACC champions, the Clemson Tigers, 14-1 a year ago, 8-0 in the ACC, and of course played for the national title a week ago Monday night in the Superdome in New Orleans. Trevor Lawrence is back. Travis Etienne is back for Dabo Swinney and the Tigers, who won in the Fiesta Bowl. Clemson's schedule starts on Thursday night, September 3rd at Georgia Tech. The Tigers then play Louisville.
Interesting.
Saturday, September 12th at Frank Howard Field. A week later, Akron from the MAC. The following week, Virginia in a rematch of the ACC Football Championship comes to Clemson. Then October features road games in an 8-day span at Boston College, at Florida State. Following those two road games, NC State and Syracuse in consecutive weeks. Going to be an interesting October, perhaps, for the Tigers, who then in November go to Notre Dame. After that, come home to host the Citadel, visit Wake Forest in their final ACC game, and then South Carolina at home on the 28th.
Should be pointed out that on Halloween, Clemson's not playing. Why is that a big deal? They will get 2 weeks to play and prepare for Notre Dame on the road. I think the biggest game in the ACC for 2020.
Tigers only have one conference game in their last four, and that is November 21st at Wake Forest. Okay? Next, Florida State, another new coach, Mike Norvell, who will join us tomorrow on this show.
Right.
6-7 a year ago were the Seminoles level par in the ACC at 4-4. Florida State will start their schedule for Mike Norvell in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium Saturday, September 5th against West Virginia. A week later, Doak Campbell Stadium for Samford. The following Saturday, they make the longest trip of any ACC team this year when they go to Boise State, Mark.
Well, here's the thing. The thing that jumps out at me, three tough non-conference games. West Virginia at Boise State, and always the traditional close right. of Florida, and November, short week on the road at Syracuse.
That's right. You also see that they have a bye before NC State on October 3rd, and then Clemson the following week at home to be followed by Wake Forest and at Louisville. That also has a Halloween day with Pittsburgh at Doak Campbell Stadium. October is proving, at least through the first run of schools here, to be a very, very interesting month of ACC football.
And only one bye week this year. coming up at 2020 for everybody. So it's not like the double bye last year, the longest season in the history of college football. You only get one in the vast majority during week 6, 7, and 8.
Four Atlantic games in four consecutive weeks, by the way, for Florida State, with NC State, Clemson, Wake, and Louisville in the month of October. Let's move to Scott Satterfield, the ACC Coach of the Year in the Louisville Cardinals. Got a bowl win over Mississippi State. They went 8-5. They went 5-3. One of the really good stories in college football a season ago. And the Cardinals, with all their talent coming back, especially on the perimeter, and Javian Hawkins at running back and Mikael Cunningham at quarterback, Louisville is going to start their season at home on Thursday, September 3rd against NC State, and then pack 9 days later at Clemson.
What a start for Louisville. I mean, that is, hey, you're going to get tested right from the get-go, and I'd even throw NC State in here because we're going to get that schedule coming up here in a moment.
Yep.
Same question, right? We'll get into that in a second.
By the way, you see that Louisville also has their first five ACC games are all in the Atlantic Division. NC State, Clemson, Syracuse, BC on the road, Florida State, off a bye week at home, and then Virginia Tech, Virginia, their final division game, Wake Forest, before they go to Notre Dame on the 21st, and then Kentucky at the end of the year.
Well, look at the back half of the schedule. Florida State, Virginia Tech, at Virginia, Wake, at Notre Dame, arch rival Kentucky. We know about the beginning, the first 2 weeks.
Right.
The back half of that schedule is a beast.
Yes, it is. Next on the ledger, North Carolina State.
Pay attention.
Dave Doran's team, 4-8, 1-7 in the conference, played a lot of young people a year ago. Bam Knight returns. They'll have to find some munitions defensively for some guys who have graduated, but a young team really on both sides of the ball last season for Coach Doran. They have 7 home games on their roster, but they start on the road Thursday, September 3rd at Louisville. Saturday, September 12th. Mike Leach and Mississippi State come to Raleigh. A week later at Troy, and then Delaware from the CAA. And then conference play picks up in earnest. Florida State on the 3rd. NC State and Duke play this year in Raleigh on the 10th. At Clemson on the 17th. A bye week Wake Forest on the 31st. And then November. BC at Syracuse. And then in Chapel Hill the day after Thanksgiving, Mark, to close the regular season for NC State.
What pops off at me right here is at Louisville and Mississippi State for a team that won 4 games last year. A lot of talk about Dave Doan changing staff and everything else. Trying to get off to a quick start at Louisville and Mike Leach and Mississippi State. You know that'll be a wide-open offensive game. It'll be very interesting in Raleigh early in the season.
6 of the last 9 for the Wolfpack at home. 5 of those are conference games. All right. Let's go to our second-to-last school in the Atlantic Division, and that is to Syracuse, New York. Take a look at the Orange, 5-7 a year ago, 2-6 off a 10-win season. Tommy DeVito will return. Starling Gilbert has come on as the offensive coordinator now at Syracuse. And it's going to be an interesting fall for Dino Babers, and it is going to start on the road Friday, September 4th at Boston College, Saturday, September 12th at Rutgers. September 19th, that Saturday, is their first home game against Colgate. September 26th at Western Michigan. And then it really kicks in. 5 of the last 8 ball games are at the Dome. Louisville, Liberty at home, you see, at Clemson. Then Georgia Tech visits Syracuse for the first time at the Carrier Dome.
It's interesting to me that a year ago, Syracuse is coming off a double-digit win season. The excitement level for Syracuse football heading into the year. Now they come off a kind of a bummer, right? Mm-hmm. 2019 was a downer. And look at the first month of the season. 1 home game.
Right. Now.
1 home game. It's Colgate.
That's it. But let me also add, too, some of that scheduling, I'm sure, has to do with the renovations going on at the Dome.
Sure.
So they had to front load maybe some road games because, remember, once the basketball regular season ends, they're going to start in earnest with their building renovations.
Just
there.
A couple things, though. Syracuse and NC State, we would all agree, had disappointing 2019s.
That's it.
And you expect as a fan, a staff, players, coaches, administrators, to get off to a quick start. I think NC State's first 2 games at Louisville and Mississippi State, and the fact that Syracuse has 1 home game in September, it'll be interesting to see the pressure for those teams to bounce back to try to get off to good starts, given the way the schedule lays out.
3 of the first 4 at BC, at Rutgers, I think, are the 2 you're talking about specifically. Remember, Western Michigan went to a bowl game as well. That's right. Their other road game early.
Right.
All right, Wake Forest is our final team in the Atlantic Division. The Deacons 8-5 a season ago. Of course, Jamie Newman has moved on to Athens as a grad transfer to the University of Georgia. But there'll be plenty of talent returning for Wake Forest on the offensive side of the ball, including Sage Surratt. And Dave Clawson's team is going to start 2020, and they're going to do it on the road at Old Dominion, Saturday, September the 5th. Friday, September 11th.
This is the game.
They come down the mountain.
This is the game that pops to me. I know Notre Dame's in Charlotte, and that's great. That's a home game, by the way, for the Deacs.
That's right.
But that Appalachian State game, for folks that don't know, those two, quite frankly, just don't like each other.
Yep.
And that will be some kind of scene in Winston-Salem.
As Pac said, Notre Dame is designated a home game, and an agreement worked out a couple of years ago with the folks here in Charlotte. So at Bank of America Stadium, the Irish and the Deacons will meet on September 26th. October 3rd at Duke, a game that has been the regular season finale the last couple of years, now moves to early October. Then Miami 6 days later at home at BB&T Field. And then here's the back end of October with an open date, but road trips to Florida State and NC State. And then Pac, look at the close here. Syracuse, at Louisville, Clemson, and then Jeff Hafley and Boston College come to Winston-Salem to close the regular season. 8 straight conference games on that list now for Wake Forest after Notre Dame.
First 4, non-conference. Again, that App State game will be a big deal. Big deal.
Yeah. I think that October, at least at first glance, October looks like a juggernaut in this conference, at least on the Atlantic side.
It should be. I mean, hey, you get to the middle of the season, Wes. Again, I just want to go back to the open date thing because it's different this upcoming season in 2020 with the one open date. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of everybody in the league falls into week 6, 7, and 8.
Right.
Now, there were a couple that do not. And in fact, North Carolina and Clemson in particular did not want that because they wanted an open date before non-conference. Clemson gets it before Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. North Carolina's going to get theirs before UConn.
Right.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Doran.
All right, we've gone through the Atlantic. We promise to show you the graphics again because we're trying to get everybody in equal time.
Sure.
And then we will break down in greater detail the non-conference and key conference matchups before we get out of here at 10 a.m. But without further ado, it's time for the Crazy Coastal. Do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, 7 different winners in the last 7 years, and we're going to start with the Duke Blue Devils, who, of course, went 5-7 and 3-5, but beat Miami in their regular season finale at Wallace Wade Stadium. And the Blue Devils play all 3 of their Tobacco Road brethren in a row in as many weeks as David Cutcliffe heads into year number 13. And here's the opener, Saturday, September 5th, Middle Tennessee State comes to Wallace Wade Stadium. Then on the 12th, Pack.
The outdoor stadium, right?
Yeah. Then on the 12th, Mighty Elon. 5 days later, a Thursday night game with Will Healy and the Charlotte 49ers.
Right.
And then the conference schedule starts. You see, at Pittsburgh on September 26th. Wake Forest, we mentioned, moves earlier this year. Then the NC State game. I know a lot of folks will be excited about renewing that series. It doesn't get played nearly as often as it did certainly prior to expansion. Carolina is backed up into the mid-October area. Then a week off before they go to Notre Dame. Come back from that. Go to Atlanta to meet Georgia Tech in a division game. And then Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Miami. 4 straight in the Coastal Division for David Cutcliffe's team to finish the regular season.
First thing I need to see on this one is how I think the season eases into business for Duke.
Sure.
I mean, look at those first 3. Middle Tennessee State, Elon, Charlotte. If you're David Cutcliffe, you can't schedule a better way to get into the 2020 season having 3 home games like that at Wallace Wade Outdoor.
And a new quarterback.
I got it. But if I'm a Duke fan, I like my chances before I jump into the ACC play here.
So the Blue Devils get started, as we said, Middle Tennessee State on September 5th. You see the Thursday night game as well at home against the 49ers of Charlotte. So after Duke, alphabetically next, Jeff Collins and Georgia Tech, 3-9 a season ago, couple of wins in ACC play, one on the road at Miami, the other at home on a Thursday night here against NC State. And you saw James Graham at quarterback. And the Jackets, if you've been following along in this hour, they're going to start at home on a Thursday night against the Clemson Tigers. So a repeat of last year's opener.
I was going to say, Jeff Collins should be used to the openers because last year he had to roll right into Death Valley and see the defending national champs. This time he gets them at home, as you mentioned, on a Thursday. And by the way, Jeff Collins will be here with us in the basement on Friday.
Yep. And then the following Saturday, Gardner Webb from the Big South comes in. And then a home game with UCF on the 19th. And you're going to see the Knights pop up here on a couple of non-conference games of note. Saturday, September 26th at Carolina, followed by a trip a week later to Blacksburg, and then Virginia and at Pittsburgh. We talk about October. Just look at Georgia Tech's October. Virginia Tech, Virginia, Pitt, and Syracuse for the Jackets, who then get three out of the last four at home. The November 14th game, by the way, against Notre Dame will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
One thing to mention, Georgia Tech's first three conference games. Clemson, at North Carolina, at Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Welcome to the league, Coach.
Yep.
We love you.
They do get a bye week in October, however. Next, we talked about De'Aaron King the last couple days. Manny Diaz in Miami, 6-7 a year ago, 4-4. They lost three straight, including the Walk-On's Independence Bowl to Louisiana Tech to close the year. And you mentioned Quincy Roche yesterday,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. He's a player.
Well, not only is De'Aaron King expected to play a big role on offense, Roche on defense, and look who they open with.
Yep, Temple, physical, tough, and they will remember, right? That'll be one of those chip on shoulder, much like what Georgia Tech had to go through last year with Coach Collins.
Yep, so Temple comes in to Coral Gables or Miami Gardens on the 5th. You see the three home games to start the year.
September 26th, though, Wes, is the one you circle because that is a real litmus test. No disrespect to Temple, which, again, tough physical team. I get all that. But the road trip to Sparty Land will be a very important game for not only Miami, but also the ACC.
A couple of teams in the ACC have what I call backloaded league schedules. And Miami would fall into that category as well, where they play eight straight conference games. Five of the last six are against the Coastal. Three of those are on the road. And you see the finish at Virginia Tech, in Atlanta with Florida State and Duke, the home games.
Hey, it's right there in front of them to get off to a good start. Now, I keep telling you, I think Miami's one of the most interesting teams in the nation in terms of spring football, summer, and fall coming off a disappointing end. People expect Miami to bounce back. That schedule gives them a chance, but I'll go back to September 26th, critical game for all parties involved.
Yeah, early test against the Big Ten at Michigan State. Next is Mac Brown, who had great success with a bowl win over Temple to close his return to Chapel Hill. Of course, Sam Howell, the ACC's Offensive Rookie of the Year, tremendous campaign. A lot of skilled guys are back for the Tar Heels. They're hoping to improve, obviously, on defense. But he has got some frisbee-catching dogs to throw it to. And the Tar Heels schedule is going to start on Friday night, September 4th, at UCF. 8 days later, they play Auburn as part of the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, where there are three games there this year. We've already mentioned two of them involving the ACC. Saturday, September 19th, James Madison, who is a finalist for the Football Championship Series national title, visits the 26th Georgia Tech. Then look at the way Carolina's schedule unfolds. Five Coastal games in 5 weeks, Mark. Starting with Georgia Tech on the 26th.
It reminds me of last year's schedule, Wes, in a sense that we knew Mac Brown was coming to town, and you looked at the schedule and like, man, they could get off to a rough start in the first 5 or 6 weeks. Look at that schedule.
Yeah.
UCF, no joke. Auburn, loaded. James Madison, tremendous program. And then conference play. Georgia Tech at Virginia, and Virginia Tech, much again like last year, a front-loaded schedule. North Carolina, if they can get through it, they could be flying by October.
Yeah, another schedule, too, where you see how big the month of October is going to be for the Tar Heels. All right, let's move to the Steel City. The Pitt Panthers of Pat Narduzzi are next, 8-5. They went 4-4 as well. Got a bowl win in Detroit for the Panthers. And with Kenny Pickett back at the wheel, to quarterback Pittsburgh and some of those defensive guys coming back into play.
Camp and Weaver.
Yep. The Pitt schedule is going to start with a non-conference game on September 5th against the Red Hawks of Miami of Ohio. Then they're going to get into Conference USA at Marshall, a CAA opponent in Richmond, and then here goes the run in the Coastal. Duke and Miami, non-conference game with Notre Dame on the 17th, and then Georgia Tech. At Florida State, you see three of the last five on the road with Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Virginia, and Syracuse. West, arguably the toughest second half in the ACC belongs to Pittsburgh.
Well, I will say this. In the years past, Pitt's non-conference schedule has been brutal. It's been tough. This one looks much more manageable to me, not to mention the fact an open date before Notre Dame. I mentioned the Irish are on the ACC schedule six times this year. Three teams have an open date prior to playing Notre Dame. Pitt is one of them.
Yep. So there's a look at the Pittsburgh schedule. How about the Notre Dame, Miami, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Virginia? I mean, I just see coastal games and the way the divisions are going to be played out, especially in that coastal where we've had seven winners in 7 years.
Yeah, but I see Miami, Marshall, and Richmond being much easier. And again, nothing's easy in college football, but that is an easier schedule non-conference-wise versus what Pitt has played in years past.
How about the champions from a year ago in the coastal division? Bronco Mendenhall and Virginia are next on the list. 9-5 a season ago, 6-2 in the ACC. And the great Bryce Perkins, of course, has moved on to professional football. How will that position play out? That's one to keep an eye on in the offseason. But the Virginia schedule starts in Atlanta. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Monday night, September 7th, against the Georgia Bulldogs of Kirby Smart. And then they turn around on the 12th, and they will play VMI. Then they meet UConn at home on the 19th, and then Pack. The first conference game is a rematch of the ACC championship on the 26th. And you see home game with Carolina, road trip to Atlanta, and then the rest of it plays out behind the non-conference game with Old Dominion.
George, how about the fact that basically the first month of the season, Virginia is going to see Georgia at Clemson and North Carolina?
Pretty strong.
Strap it on real tight if you're Bronco Mendenhall on the Hoos.
By the way, you talk about that part, and then notice, too, that Virginia does not have a bye in the last five. They're one of a few teams that took the bye kind of earlier, if you will. There is no bye in that last five to go Miami, Louisville, Duke, Pitt, and Virginia Tech.
And Florida State was another one of those teams with an early bye. The reason for it? The road trip to Boise State, the distance going back and forth. So if you're a Florida State fan wondering about that from earlier, that's the reason why.
All right. The last school in our rundown of the 2020 Atlantic Coast Conference football schedule is Justin Fuente and Virginia Tech. Lots of things to focus on. Rebuilt staff on the defensive side after the retirement of Bud Foster for Fuente's Hokies. They, too, have a very important early non-conference game. After they open with Liberty on the 5th, it's Saturday, September 12th, Penn State. And then you see Middle Tennessee State and North Alabama dot the calendar, and then here goes October. Georgia Tech comes to Blacksburg on the 3rd, in Chapel Hill on the 10th, which will be a big ball game. Boston College is a Thursday night following a bye, October 22nd, that's at home in Blacksburg. October 31st at Louisville, at Pitt, Miami, Duke, and at Virginia. Hokies have 8 straight ACC games, and the last 4 are all in the division.
Well, the one that jumps out at me early, obviously, is Saturday, September the 12th. Penn State should be excellent with everybody they've got coming back, and, of course, Virginia Tech feeling good with 19 starters back as well. Tell you right now, September the 12th will be hopping in Blacksburg.
Yep.
That will be a great, great game.
Yep. So there is a look at the 2020 Atlantic Coast Conference football schedule. Don't forget, it is available at theacc.com. You can certainly link to it off your social media platforms as well. There's all sorts of ways you can print it out week by week, team by team. And, of course, you can go to your school's particular website if you like to get the schedule. But if you want the comprehensive look, as we enjoy here on this show, having the week by week and the team schedules handy, you can do that as well.
Again, open dates. I'll keep emphasizing because I know fans will go crazy about, oh, man, why are we playing this game? You know, Florida State wanted an open date early from the Boise State trip.
Sure.
You just mentioned the whole situation with North Carolina and Clemson having open dates prior to their non-conference games outside the sweet spot of the middle of the season, week 6, 7, and 8. They wanted it for a reason, and they got that approved. Again, from a Clemson perspective, you want 2 weeks to get ready for Notre Dame. You requested it. You got it.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, so we just went through the reveal of...
It was 2020 we were supposed to do, right?
Yeah, that was 2020.
Okay, good. I thought for a moment I'd read the wrong one.
So for everybody that had us screwing this thing up one way or the other, you lost. You lost handily. But, Wes, on a serious note, now that we've gone through each team, and again, you can. There's many ways now to find your team's favorite team schedule and go through it. I do think, given the national narrative that ACC fans, players, coaches, announcers, friends, everything else mm-hmm. went through in terms of, oh, the league's not very good this side of Clemson.
Right.
The conference has an incredible opportunity early in 2020 to make a stand and a statement and change a national narrative. There are so many important non-conference games early into this season. Now, I'm not taking a note on Notre Dame because we know about the six Notre Dame
right.
ACC games, which will be highlighted, obviously, with Clemson and South Bend in early November. However,
there's seven games in the first month.
And it's one of the things we hinted here the last couple of days mm-hmm. was the early part of these schedules.
Right.
Right. Now, there's granted, we've got some conference openers, right, which we'll get to in the next segment. But the non-conference schedule for the ACC, there are so many opportunities for this league to change the narrative. The only way you can do it is win.
Yeah.
You can get me all the hype on Instagram and all the cool posters and commercials, and you can mail stuff to people. None of that matters. The only way you change the narrative is to get quality mm-hmm. W's. The league has a ton of quality opportunities.
There are seven games, if you look at the ACC schedule we just revealed and you're kind of looking at it chronologically, across all boards of the league, there's seven games in the first 4 weeks where, quite frankly, they're going to have lasting impact on next fall. That's the way the fall is going to be regarded from a national perspective. Two of them are in week one. Both of them happen to be in Atlanta, to be honest with you. Florida State and West Virginia, and Virginia against Georgia. Those are games packed in week one.
Well, Gary Stokin and his folks down there at the Peach Bowl, I had a chance to talk to them in New Orleans. They're going to try to pull this off, and they will,
right.
with three unbelievable games. And, of course, the ACC is all over this. But Florida State and West Virginia, the Bobby Bowden Invitational, right?
Yep.
Right out of the gate. And we got Coach Norvell coming on tomorrow on the program. I don't know how much time he's going to spend on this game with all the stuff he's got to work on, yeah. but a critical game for Florida State. And I know West Virginia is going through a rebuilding process as well. But Coach Brown did a nice job in Morgantown in year one, so he's got a head start from that department. But I think all of us are expecting Florida State to be new and improved.
Well, in Virginia, what will they look like against Kirby Smart in Georgia, who more than likely are going to be picked to win the SEC's Eastern Division in July? I mean, then you get Virginia Tech, Penn State. You talked about that. Carolina, Auburn, Nuff said. NC State, Mississippi State.
Huge game for Dave Doan. I mentioned this when you were going through the Atlantic Division, right? And we're going through schedules. NC State having to open at Louisville, I think, is a great game, really, for both sides, just to see where they are, because they're in the same kind of neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for Florida State, I mean, excuse me, for NC State, coming off a four-win season, opening at Louisville, and then here comes Mike Leach and his crazy offense to Carter Finley. This is a really, I think, a pivotal time for Dave Doran's guys to get off to a good start. And for years and years and years, we've talked about a soft early schedule for NC State.
Right.
Always seemingly 4-0, that kind of thing. Well, it's going to be a little different this go around because the Louisville game is going to be a test. And obviously Mississippi State and Mike Leach and what he's going to bring offensively will be a big challenge. It'll be kind of a cool ACC-SEC game in Raleigh.
Yeah. And by the way, we saw the back end. Clemson, obviously, at Notre Dame. That's a big trip for the Tigers. Florida State, Florida, Louisville, Kentucky, regular season finales that are very traditional type games, but nonetheless incredibly important to kind of the way the league sets up, at least as we look at it today.
And you get the Florida States, Georgia, sure. Georgia Techs. I mean, we wouldn't waste all that time on that, but there were so many early games yeah. to make
that's
a
it.
Statement for this league. And, you know, if you win them, Wes, that's how you sit there and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. We actually play football in this league. You lose them, hey, you got the uphill battle and people go, ah, it's just Clemson, nobody else. You know, that's how it changes. So the cool thing is that this league has scheduled people of note.
Right.
Not everybody does this. Not everybody schedules this way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a smart thing for the league. The only way you get better is to beat better teams.
Yeah, the neutral site games we mentioned, the ACC obviously involved in all three of those games in Atlanta in one stretch or another. Those are the type games that those neutral site, and Florida State goes to Boise. Pack, and I got to be honest, Mike Norvell taking that new team across the country.
Tough place.
And trying to, avenge that opening loss last year in Tallahassee that really, unfortunately, set the tone for the remainder of the year for Florida State.
Well, playing on the blue, that's what they call it up there, Boise. It's a beautiful place, tough place, good football program. But yeah. I will say, well, you know what? Virginia made that road trip a couple years back and wore Boise State out. That does not happen very often.
Right.
But given what happened in the opener, which, again, that was crazy. It was supposed to be in Jacksonville. We had the weather delays. They moved the game to Tallahassee. Florida State gets off to the big start, and they just couldn't close. Really important game, right? New coach, new era, new vibe, everything going on in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. That will be a very important game. Again, West Virginia, Boise State. Florida State's non-conference schedule is no joke, yeah. Especially when you put Florida at the end of the deal, as you normally do.
Mike Norvell with us tomorrow, as Mark said. Boy, got to be glad to have 15 back in the ballgame, too.
No doubt.
Tamari and Terry returns at wide receiver, Marvin Wilson at defensive tackle for Florida State.
And another thing, too, a team like Virginia Tech, right? Justin Fuente is back after everything we went through with that for the last two weeks. You have 19 starters back. A team and a fan base that kind of feels like they turned the corner a little bit last year, even though they didn't close the deal to win the division. But, man, week two, here comes Penn State. I think Penn State will be a preseason top 10 team. They've got a lot of pieces back. Great fan base, both fan bases together. Blacksburg in September, huge. And you're talking about a great environment, everything that you want. So, again, another great opportunity for the league.
Yep. By the way, just some notes here to piece together the non-conference ledger of ACC football for 2020. There'll be 29 games against non-conference teams that were in bowls. That's the most of any Power 5 league. There'll be 19 games against Power 5 non-conference teams. Again, most of any conference, most of any Power 5 conference. 15 games against teams that were in the final AP Top 25 pack. That's the most of any Power 5 league. And 12 non-conference games against teams that are in ESPN's way too early top 25.
Here's what I'll tell you. All that's great, right? And there's nothing better than somebody that's willing to schedule someone of note.
Mm-hmm.
But for this league right now, it's one thing to schedule. It's another thing to win.
Sure.
That's got to happen, Wes. We have beat this drum to death for the last couple of years. We know what Clemson's all about. Who else can join the mix, right? That's the question for 2020. Who else is ready to step up and say, guess what? We are a top 20 football program. Who is that?
All right. We showed 10 games, non-conference games to keep an eye on. Obviously, 7 of them were in the first month of the season. Of those 10, how many in your mind does this league have to win?
It can't be one. It can't be two. You can't go 2-8 and go, hey, look at us. No, the only way this changes is if you win at least half of them, Wes, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Because if you're going to schedule better than everybody else, hey, that's one talking point.
Right.
It's another thing when you bring to the table, by the way, here are the teams that we have beaten. You've got to do that. I mean, if you don't do that, that's fool's gold.
Yep.
I mean, anybody can schedule, right? Not everybody does, but anybody can. The question is going to be, can the ACC win some of those games of note?
And who steps forward during the course of the season?
Right.
I mean, to validate what they did in the first month.
No question about it. And there are certain teams I do think that are put in a position where you got an opportunity mm-hmm. right out of the gate in September to go, guess what? We're better than you all thought we were.
Yep.
So go prove it.
By the way, some folks on social media reacted to our schedule release, by the way.
Well, hold on a second. Can I say one thing real quick before whatever you're getting ready to do? We aren't the story.
No, I know that.
The story is the schedule.
Yeah, that's
okay. I just want to make sure we understand.
Yeah, you did a really good job of not, you know, pulling the trigger early.
I told you it was never in doubt that it was going to be leaked, ever in doubt.
Okay. Some people weren't happy. Some people weren't happy. Some people actually liked it. How about Bennett Conlon liked it? I'm enjoying the schedule reveal, some analysis and hype. It's not taking an unreasonable amount of time. Thank you.
It's all about pace.
Bennett, appreciate that. Andy Bitter from The Athletic.
Our buddy.
Friend of the show. Don't you dare go to commercial. Mm. That was in between the divisions.
Andy, I know he's still watching. Nothing gets done until something gets sold.
We're going to stitch it on a pillow. That's what we're
Memorize
gonna
that one.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
The hounds sound asleep. fully content that the schedules have been released.
Oh, me.
The boys have been rather quiet today.
I have indeed, sir.
I wonder what's going on with that. Fuller sound asleep right here. All right. Schedule. Conference games.
Well, putting this puzzle together is an arduous task. Now, a couple of things to share with you here as we look at some of the notes in the schedule is that every school kind of controls its non-conference.
Totally.
And so the year-end rivalries that happen with the ACC and the SEC that everybody's familiar with, those are pretty much controlled by the schools and contracts and agreements they set up with those opponents. The other thing, too, is last year was a 14-week schedule. This is a 13-week schedule. 11 of the 14 ACC schools took their bye week in weeks 6, 7, and 8. And I think that's important to note. And you talked about when we were unrolling the schedule. There are differences in the way you want to do things. Florida State took theirs early because of the trip to Boise.
And they requested it.
Yeah, they requested that.
And got it. And schools get 3 requests.
Yeah.
And it's not that they want to play a certain team and have a time off. It's
right.
Just for, as we were told, mm-hmm. You could have a fair in town. Maybe it's a concert. Just from a scheduling standpoint, it would have just been a headache. So schools are given to the league multiple opportunities, up to 3, from a request from a scheduling standpoint. And Florida State wanted theirs, their open date, mm-hmm. to coincide with a long trip to Boise State.
Yeah.
Clemson with Notre Dame. North Carolina wanted a non-conference game as well. So those were the 3 schools that did not fall in the sweet spot of having an open date in the middle of your season, either week 6, 7, and 8. So that's, hopefully that underplays what folks are talking about. Well, why didn't we have our open date? The schools have an opportunity.
Right.
The league tries to deal with it, and 11 of the 14 got what they wanted.
There you go. And in total, 22 of the 26 requests, they were able to meet that.
And I really should say 11 of the 14 got open dates other than the sweet spots of week 6, 7, and 8, and now you know why.
That's
what I should say.
The other aspect here that I think is important to note is late May, the first 3 weeks will be introduced. The kick times will be announced in May. That'll cover the first 3 weeks. That's one of the things. And I'm sure we talked about it with Syracuse and mentioning there. The renovations at the Dome are ongoing. In fact, if you were there this fall, you know that the building essentially during the week's a construction site and on Saturdays became a football stadium and now a basketball arena, whatever. And certainly that affected the front end of their schedule as we touched on earlier. Let's get to some of these conference notes here before we wrap things up at the top of the hour, because I do think they're we talk about October, but September's got a couple of hammers in it now. One is September 12th, Pac?
Well, yes, but I would even go further than that. The fact that you've got some openers, right? There's some folks that love conference openers. There's some folks that don't like it. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. You're not going to appeal to everyone here.
Right.
But I think the fact that NC State and Louisville,
Play right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. And Coach Satterfield's guys coming off a great year. Dave Dorn's guys coming off an awful year. Something's got to give. You know that folks in Louisville are fired up with their football program.
Right.
And you look at, here comes NC State to your house and then a road trip to Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to know pretty early into the deal where you stand if you're Louisville.
Yep.
And if you're NC State, hey, make sure 2019 was just a blip on the screen, man. It's not who we are. We're more of a back-to-back 9-win team with a chance to try to win the division. You're going to know something right out of the gate. At Louisville, be a tough test, place to be sold out, be a zoo. And then you've got to come home to an SEC team. And I applaud teams that schedule people of note. The fact that an SEC team's coming to Raleigh and it's Mike Leach and his crazy offense, I think if you're an NC State fan, man, you better be ready to go the first 2 weeks of the season.
By the way, those 3 conference games, 2 are on Thursday and the other one is on Friday. And you get that taste. And then week 2. My goodness. I mean, here comes the Louisville-Clemson game. My heavens. Right out of the gate, we get Louisville-Clemson. September the 12th, and that'll be a fascinating game just simply from the fact of what Scott Satterfield's been able to do. And you know we talked about who comes back for Clemson, really on both sides of the ball, and the dominance the Tigers have had.
And a home opener.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing. It's an easy trip for Clemson fans to go down I-85 and check out the Georgia Tech game on a Thursday night, but that will be a home opener, and get that one all over you. That'll be a good one.
Yep. So you get Louisville Clemson on Saturday night, Saturday, September 12th. I'm already projecting it to be a night game.
Now we don't.
I'm sure people love
just,
that.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
We don't know that.
You mentioned that the networks will
be
in charge of TV times and all that stuff the first two or three weeks of the season. We don't have that information. We're not hiding it from you. We just don't know what it is.
How about Clemson's September also includes the rematch with Virginia from the ACC championship?
First time they've seen each other in a long time in the regular season. And I mentioned Virginia's schedule, holy mackerel, in terms of their conference lineup early, not to mention Georgia. Then you get Virginia. It's got Clemson. Virginia's then got North Carolina. A tough start for Bronco Mendenhall's guys. But, you know, I think from a Clemson perspective, Wes.
Yeah.
Hey, they're going to be favored in every game they play.
Sure.
To me, the biggest game on their schedule is at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Early November. To me, that's going to be the game you circle.
Well, I tell you, before you get to early November and you're an ACC football fan, you want to circle big weekends, I'm going to have you pencil September 26th in because Pac has already mentioned Miami at Michigan State that day. Virginia is at Clemson. Notre Dame plays Wake Forest here in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech and North Carolina at Kenan Stadium in Chapel Hill on September 26th, Mark. Two teams.
Right.
One got it turned around. The other one hopes to. Tom Luganville was in here last week talking about the Jackets recruiting class. After opening with Clemson, Carolina obviously has – you know, UCF and Auburn and then James Madison.
That
seems to be an interesting game for both schools that late in September. You know, how much momentum can you push into October?
I think the bigger story is North Carolina's first half of the season. Much like last year, it is front-loaded where, hey, there's going to be huge expectations. There's already people barking about North Carolina as a preseason top 20 team.
Yeah.
Howell's back. Frisbee catching dogs are back. They've got pieces where you could see if North Carolina can get off to a quick start, they could be off and running. But it's a tough start. That UCF game will not be easy. Auburn and Atlanta won't be easy. And JMU is no joke.
Right.
That's your first three.
Yeah, Mike Houston, by the way, I should say Kurt Cignetti did a great job following Mike Houston this year at Madison, took them to the FCS finals. One final note here about week one. Syracuse Boston College at Alumni Stadium on Friday night, September 4th. Dino Babers trying to bounce back after a difficult season. Jeff Hafley in Boston College. Your opener as the head coach, a lot of energy.
I tell you why I like this game, because these two know each other. Their fan bases know each other. Regardless of where this game is played and when it's played, both fan bases will be in tune to the game.
Right.
So I love the fact that it's an opener. And for Jeff Hafley, I'm sure we'll see him and talk to him many more times. We had him right after he was announced as the head coach. But to me, it's a cool game. It's a Northeast game. Let him get after it early. Why not?
Sure.
But it's interesting, too, that BC's got so many home games early. As I mentioned, three of their last four are on the road, and when it gets nice and chilly up there at Chestnut Hill, only the Tar Heels will have a chance to experience it.
Uh-huh. At NC State, at Florida State, at Wake Forest in November, and Carolina, Chestnut Hill, November 21st.
It will be brisk.
We will get to your phone calls and your comments and so forth on the schedules tomorrow for your particular school or the league as a whole. We look forward to doing that. Mike Norvell from Florida State will be with us tomorrow.
And we're going to spend a lot more time on the schedule. Today was nothing more than the unveil and to give you some highlights of the non-conference and the conference schedule. But we'll go through it in greater detail tomorrow with phone calls and really diving deep into the schedule.
Yeah. Boy, the non-conference hammers at the front are big.
That was the thing. That's why we kind of teased it without telling you who and when and where.
Mm-hmm.
But the league, if you want to get in the national conversation, the way you do it is you beat people of note. And the ACC has scheduled appropriately.
By the way, basketball tonight and a lot of it, four games on the slate. Here on ACC Network, 8 o'clock, North Carolina is at Virginia Tech. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander, Katie George will be there. Other games, Georgia Tech at Louisville, Syracuse at Notre Dame, Boston College is at Pittsburgh. On a busy night of men's basketball, there'll be a Thursday night double dip here on ACC Network on the ladies' side tomorrow, along with a full edition of Packer and Durham. Anything else you – I mean, that's a lot. This will wear you out now when you do all this unveiling.
It's not going to wear you out at all. In fact, you and I are going to go grab breakfast right after this. We're so worn out, we're going to go have breakfast after this. I have to wake up the dogs. The dogs are so chill today, man. I'm surprised.
Outside of Clemson, did you get a little early vibe here on schedules?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
you've
try
been digesting
to.
It all week. People have been trying to bribe you.
But here's the problem. You don't know how good anybody is. That's the problem. The only team I feel really good about mm-hmm. is one team.
Clemson.
And I think they're going to be really good. Everybody else, I'm curious to see Florida State and Miami and Virginia Tech. And is North Carolina going to be as good as advertised? A lot of question marks. Can Virginia validate their year? Pittsburgh always fun underneath the radar. Louisville, are we going to build upon what we did last year?
How about first-year guys? How about Norvell and Halfley trying to get it locked up and loaded?
Well, again, we're going to talk to Mike Norvell tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got to figure he's going to be going 800 miles an hour, right?
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.